no squilly, can talk to the cop, that's illegal. I was like more a rich porter, no double crossing on my peoples. I take an M to the table and split it with my niggas equal. I'm back on that hood shit, yeah, that was you was shit. I'm talking that cross you that fed you for quarter like Jordan. We back on that bullshit. We came up from nothing, we started on lists, it's most wanted, but now it's the Forbes list. We really was doing shit. I can hear echoes from feds on this beat from informants. I think they recorded. Listen, you hear that?
We might just get hit with the Rico.
Hey everybody, you've been listening to PO Junction on CILU Radio 102.7 FM in Thunder Bay, around the world at luradio.ca. We just heard and are hearing just the last little bit of Rico by Meek Hill featuring Drake. Before that, we heard Elvis Costello with The Angels Wanna Wear My Red Shoes, and started off the set with Stiff Little Fingers and Alternative Ulster. That is the show. We have very little time left, but we're probably going to get Talking Heads to play us out, because why not? I'm out. Thunder Geeks are in. Find me on the internet and all of the various places. Send me an email. ptojunction@luradio.ca is my address if you have any requests or comments or suggestions whatsoever. Stay tuned for Thunder Geeks, and keep it locked on LU Radio. Good night.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Rec and Culture Division of Thunder Bay, bringing free events to the waterfront and all of Thunder Bay. Check out thunderbay.ca/events for more info and follow them on Facebook. Joey's Restaurant, a tasty little place for seafood, located at 595 Arthur Street West. Visit them Tuesdays for all-you-can-eat fish and chips, and Thursdays, $5 fish tacos. Some conditions apply. The Thunder Bay Blues Fest. Log on to tbayblues.ca to keep up with all the news on Thunder Bay's largest annual music festival, entering its 19th year in 2020.
I'm a very good boy. I put out milk and cookies for this guy to enjoy. But Santa never brings the right toy. I felt like giving up on all this holiday joy. But if you've seen the Santa Claus, you know. You become Santa if you put on Santa's coat. You can kill him dead up in the snow. The elves don't even care about you murdering their bro. And so, this Christmas gonna be special to me. I ain't gonna ask for a car with a key. I ain't gonna write to Santa asking him please, 'cause what I want for Christmas can't fit under the tree. I wanna be Santa Claus, so I'm gonna kill Santa Claus. When I hear those reindeer paws, I'm gonna break the law. This Christmas, don't got a wish list, I got a hit list, and at the top of it is old Saint Nicholas. Nothing against him, it's just business. I ain't the Grinch, but I'm gonna steal Christmas. I made a list and checked it twice, for all the fucks I give about ending Santa's life, and I found none. I'll travel at the speed of light. If I'm Santa now, does that mean that I sleep with Santa's wife? 'Cause I'm down, son. Fire in my fireplace, not talking about his flying ship. When I say I'm a sleigh, he gon' die, son. I'ma wake up Christmas Day with all the dopest presents that I forced the elves to make. They're my prisoners. I'll never understand why this is the way that they decide who the next Santa Claus is. How do people not believe that Santa exists? In this world, aren't adults concerned about all these gifts they didn't buy? I wanna be Santa Claus, so I'm gonna kill Santa Claus. When I hear those reindeer paws, I'm gonna break the law. This Christmas, don't got a wish list, I got a hit list, and at the top of it is old Saint Nicholas. Nothing against him, it's just business. I ain't the Grinch, but I'm gonna steal Christmas.
Christmas! 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 Thunder Geeks are live! Hello, Thundarians! You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca, or of course, streaming live on facebook.com/ThunderGeekSpeak. That was I'm Gonna Kill Santa Claus by Danny Gonzalez. I'm Andrew.
I'm Santa.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Chris.
And we're your Thunder Geeks. Welcome again to another very special episode. We're your Thunder Geeks. If this is your first week, we like to get together, talk about the nerdy stuff we've been up to, what's going on in our community, and just try to make you laugh for an hour and a half. So, of course, Rob has decided to play Santa for us this year. Rob, how about you tell the folks what we're doing?
Since it's a little different from normal, I just drowned, got y'all presents, and you're going to open them up one by one. Andrew, I want you to be last.
Okay, I will go last because I also have two gifts. Of course, a longtime friend of the show, Sabrina, gifted me a mysterious box as well. And you're so cruel because when did you deliver all of the gifts? And then you made me wait days staring at it. And this is the first time I've had to wait to a gift I could see. And it's not even Christmas yet since I was a child.
That's evil.
So I'm going to be honest. I don't think you have to wait on Sabrina's gift.
I know. I did that at Prince. I was like, you know what? If I'm getting two gifts that I have to open, I'm going to do them both at the same time and maximize my giftingness happiness.
Okay. So that was your choice. So we'll start off Megan, because Megan's got to be the audio only. So she's going to have to be really, really descriptive. Like, Megan, when you get in there, I want you to like describe in as much detail
okay,
as what you
so
got.
So I'm peeling back the tape.
Sensually?
It is your regular.
Ooh.
Yes, sensually. Sensually peeling it back. It looks like a regular Scotch tape brand, you know, which you would see when you buy at the store. Present is wrapped eloquently in a Star Wars gift wrapping featuring the new cast with a BB-8 classic Chewbacca. And on the other side of it, it has, in Rob's best attempt at calligraphy, it says Megan, and the M is written much like the M that we see in the Dragon Ball Z series. And now I am going to tear open the wrapping.
I love the ASMR we got here. Oh.
Perfect. All right.
I hate every part of this.
It is an item that you would look through. It is a book of sorts. It is a manga.
Oh.
It's a plus-sized elf. And on the cover, we have an elvish person.
Uh-huh.
Possibly of female gender, but
ambiguous.
We can't exactly quite say until I begin reading this piece of literature. She has blonde hair with braids on the side, put into a sensibly put together bun, and fries stuffed into her luscious lips.
Ooh, that was a surprise
this
at the end.
This is actually fantastic.
What's it called, Megan? So far, you describe a sexy, curvy elf girl munching fries. Now, are they like shoestring? Are they crinkle cut? What kind of fries are we talking about?
They are shoestring. The package that they are in looks like a McDonald's. However, of course, in the manga and Japanese anime fashion, I'm sure that it is a whack...
whack Donald's?
Whack Donald's or a whack Arnold's. Of some kind. This actually looks fantastic. I love this so much.
I specifically like, picked really a manga for Megan. This,
what's it
that
called?
Either she's going to love.
Plus sized elf.
Oh, that's pretty straightforward. Actually, that's exactly what it's giving you.
She's either going to love it or think it's the dumbest thing she's ever read.
Could be two things.
Could be two things.
I genuinely don't know which one it's going to be because I never read it. I was just going through the things thinking, I was like, what would Megan like to read? And then I saw the cover, I'm like, Megan likes them thick!
I do like them thick. Literally, one of the pages, it's she busts open her Adidas tracksuit sweater jacket, and the shirt on the inside says, I love oil, which I'm assuming means, like, I heart, like, deep fry grease.
I get greasy.
Oh my goodness. She's so into it. She wants to eat. She wants to eat all the foods. All
right, Christopher.
And she's not even that plus-sized, honestly. Like, she's got a little paunch, but she's not that thickums. But I guess in Japan, she would probably be considered the plus size.
Yeah, Japan is still working on all size acceptance. There are a couple of female comedians that are getting bigger, especially I've been seeing them come through on TikTok quite a bit too, that are helping challenge the status quo, but plus size in Japan is like a regular medium for us.
Oh my goodness, there's a swole mermaid. I'm so down for this. Literally one of the pages is like she's exposing her back and she's just shredded. Yes.
Okay, Chris.
So, Chris, you ready?
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
Chris is like, why didn't you get that from me, Rob?
I like him thick. I'm
there's
not
an anti-theft stick in the middle of this book.
Oh, Rob, I'm so sorry, buddy.
You own it, don't you?
Oh no! So I'm. Can I take
a
wild guess?
I went through your frame by frame. I didn't see it. Did you move something?
Did I not show you the counter over there?
No!
Oh no!
Hold on! I could have sworn I sent you a photo with that.
Okay, so first, yes, Chris, find out if you've sent him the one shelf, because I can tell what's going on here. Let me take a wild stab in the dark. Rob asked you, he's like, I need to see everything you have, because I want you to get something that I'm going to appreciate. So it's rather Power Rangers or Kamen Rider or Sentai.
It's neither.
It's neither. Oh, it's none. That's surprising. Okay. But the point is...
I absolutely showed you it.
Okay, so... What Rob attempted to do is buy you something you don't already have because your collection's magnificent.
It's a mess.
So Rob, what happened? Why'd you?
Yes, I missed it.
Oh, that's okay.
No, here's the thing. I asked Chris to send me photos. He sent a video.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, at least Rob, there's still hope. This is just the second act. So we had a first act with Megan where it was a magical, beautiful moment. And this is the second act. This is where we have drama and the downfall. And then the finale will eventually bring it home.
Rob, well,
Christmas
like
will be saved, Rob. I promise you. You have not failed yet, Santa. You've just hit a bump along the way.
I'll make them hug.
Well, the thing is, I know, Andrew, there's no way you could own what I got you because nothing like it exists.
Oh, no. Okay, so do I get to go first?
Do you mean last?
Oh, I mean last. Do I get to go?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to open up Sabrina's first and we'll leave Rob's for the finale here. So I want to see. Ooh, I got Love Life CD right off the bat. Okay. Sabrina had an amazing Love Live collection, and I see she's dumped all of the Ellie stuff on me. She's gifted it to me here, and it's beautiful, and I am quite pleased. So, okay, I gotta talk about Love Live. Okay, so, Ellie, the reason that she's so special and the reason I really love her within the group of personalities is she was a... at first, opposed to the school idol group existing. And she is also the student council president. As you know, the student council presidents of any school are magnificent beings that are above us and are...
evil?
No. No. She seems evil at first. She seems evil at first because, you know, she's, you know, opposed to them and making them follow all of the rules really strictly and even trying to, you know, if they don't meet their goals, she's going to shut down the school idol club. But it's not because she just hates school idols. She loves school idols so much, she doesn't think they're good enough. And then the reason she joins is because Hanako says, if we're not good enough at dancing, because Ellie was a Russian trained ballet dancer, and if she can add to their collective, they could shine brighter together. And that's when Ellie joins the group and she helps elevate all of them into being better and trying harder and working together to save their school with the power of music.
I love it. I love it. So passionate.
You just have to understand that music is love, and that's why we need to share the music. Okay, so Rob, you've gifted me. We're here, so we have our, I appreciate you've actually done different wrapping paper when Megan was saying, it's like, okay, she has the Star Wars. I have DC. I am much less careful. I'm just
3 years ago, I went to Dollar Store and just bought a bunch.
Though I do want to, I also want to compliment you on your handwriting. It is actually quite immaculate. It's not that I ever thought you were a bad handwriter or anything.
I'm terrible. I'm terrible handwriting. I just put way too much time into it.
It shows that you put in a lot of effort for it.
You put in the effort, and it looks good because of it. As someone who is a notorious bad handwriter, I don't think I could do something that's fantastic. There's little details. Specifically, I love the gap in the D, where it's still distinctly a D, but it gives the writing personality. I'm just saying, I love your D in me, Rob.
We all knew that was coming.
Okay, this is going to be helpful. So Rob has gotten me a special little mason jar. Did you custom this? Because it's got a picture of a little black kitty called Nuggies, who is my special little man, and I love him, and he's going to have a very special Christmas as well. And it says Nugs all over this special little mason jar that I understand I could store plants in and they would stay fresh.
Yep.
Love it. That's adorable.
So I definitely know I could have never come across this. Rob, how did this thing come to be?
I was on the Thunder Bay buy and sell because I'm looking for stuff, and I noticed someone was selling these kind of jars, and I just asked her. It's like, hey, do you do custom work? And she's like, yes. Like, how much? She tells me how much. I'm like, that is actually really reasonable. Here's what I want. I want a black kitty and the word Nugs everywhere.
I love it. I love it. So thank you, Rob. See, Chris, I told you, Rob, Christmas will be saved, and we did have ourselves a merry little Christmas.
We had some ups and downs, and it all turned around.
Exactly. That this is just the hallmark of a perfect Christmas special, Rob. Thank you so much for playing Santa. Yeah, it is different this year, where usually we have our gift exchange. We get to surprise each other. We're all together in the studio. We just get to laugh and have fun. Often, Alicia will spoil us with treats, and we will resist eating while we're on the air and fail horrendously the entire episode, me included. We're just like, oh no, we're back from a special and my mouth is full of gummy.
I look over and Andrew's just staring at me with daggers, and I'm just like, I love peanut butter and marshmallow squares.
Same.
Oh man, I want those. But yeah, speaking of Alicia, I got her 8-pack of assorted beers, half of which were Polish that she can't pronounce to save her life.
Oh, that's nice.
That's super sweet.
I have enjoyed watching Alicia's palate grow with beer, because as many people, she's like a lot of people, when you first try beer, you don't like it. You drink it because if you get through the first one, the rest of them taste better. But as you drink it more, you grow accustomed to it. And she's been exploring her palate. Me and her, I believe, currently have the same favorite, where Sleeping Giant's Northern Lager, the local guys.
Hashtag not sponsored, but hashtag would like to be sponsored.
Absolutely. Northern Lager is just, like, for me, the perfect beer. It's very smooth. It goes down easy. And that's what I've been having every show as we've been going through in quarantine. Let's reminisce about Christmas memories together then, because Megan, you brought up marshmallow peanut butter squares. And for me, that is like the quintessential of a Thunder Bay holiday, where rather Christmas or Easter, someone's going to bring marshmallow squares. And I am also going to eat too many of them and feel sick later.
Oh, yeah. And shrimp rings. You know what? Like, it sounds like the most disgusting combination. But, like, every Christmas, there's, like, a shrimp ring, and then there's dinner, and there's peanut butter squares, but sometimes I get real lucky and the shrimp ring and the peanut butter squares are out at the same time. It sounds so disgusting, but I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rob, how about you? What's a quintessential Christmas food that's just always there that maybe you wouldn't expect? Or just something that... I'm like, Rob, is it all Polish food all the time? Because your mother cooks amazing, so I know it's hard to choose a food, and I'm asking you on a suicide note, like, hey, okay, so... choose your mom's favorite cooking.
Oh, no, she knows exactly what this is. It's a special kind of Christmas pierogi that she only makes once a year.
A special edition pierogi?
There's no English translation. They're called uszki.
Uszki.
She makes them every year for Christmas only, and the tradition in the family is you don't get the recipe until you're married.
Oh,
so
no.
So me and my sister don't have the recipe, and we want the GD recipe because it's like, have you ever seen those like TV families where it's like there's one thing on the table and they're like fighting for it and like someone gets a fork in the hand? That's not a joke in our family. Me and my sister have stabbed each other for these.
Now, Rob.
Really good.
Hold on. I have an idea. We have to perform like a heist movie, but it's like a fake wedding.
Oh,
so
that's bad.
Like, one of us needs to get fake married to Rob. It's going to be either Andrew or I so that we can have possession of the urshka.
Yeah, Andrew.
Rob, let's go with the technicality, because your parents most likely want you to get married to have grandkids. Can we technically them out of it? Rob, I'll take the hit. You're going to have to sign a prenup first, Rob, because, you know, I have to protect my assets. Oh, of course, we're going to be together forever, and I love you, Rob, and we will have an amazing wedding that I demand dance choreography at.
Immediate divorce.
But Brittany and Jason Alexander, I think, had the most lovely of marriages and the most sacred of it. So it lasted 3 days, and it may be enough to get the recipe.
3 days before Christmas.
3 days before Christmas.
That puts the heist in place. So you guys have to, like, get engaged that year, announce the engagement, build up the hype, get married 3 days before Christmas, and then on Christmas that year, 3 days after your wedding, Mama Szczepanski is going to gift you the recipe for the urshka, and then you guys split up the next day.
Oh, what a great name, the urshka.
Oh. Uszki.
Uszki. The uszki.
Sorry.
Uszki is even better.
How do you spell it? How do you spell it?
With difficulty.
Is there an umlaut over any of the letters?
I don't know.
Uszki. Does it start with a P?
You got Pushki. That's probably a different thing.
I typed it with an O and it came up as Pushki.
Chris, you have to remember, think of Robert's last name. It literally has a record scratch spelled into it. It's called Uszki, but there's at least 11 Zs in that word.
I mean, if it is Uszki, it could be ZKI.
Yeah, it could be ZK, so we will never find it phonetically. The uszki is that mysterious thing, and the only way that we can obtain the uszki, the great uszki caper, the uszki Christmas caper, because we need a Christmas classic. So the uszki Christmas caper, Rob, we need to get married so we can get your mother's Christmas recipe. You know, we don't know how far we'll have to go with this. So, I mean, like I said, if we're going to have a wedding, we're going to have an amazing wedding. So we have 3 days for me to put together a flash. Oh, no, we can't have a flash mob. We need a Zoom flash mob somehow. And then we will get the uszki for Christmas.
I typed in uszki Polish food and it took me to Ozeki Polish food. And it has something to do with sake. It's a Japanese
You can't
food.
Decode Polish. It's impossible. They intentionally spell things with 93 Zs so you can never quite know that that's how they're great code breakers. So,
also, you gotta remember, what is it? I think 8% of the population of Thunder Bay?
Yes.
Great.
Oh, no. I
feel like that.
Most of my palate is centered around in Eastern European, Ukrainian, and Polish cooking, just because that is just like, and also they've influenced, I've celebrated Ukrainian Christmas. I have no attachment to Ukrainian culture other than through Thunder Bay, but I've also experienced quite a lot of it because I've done both dancing and celebrated Ukrainian Christmas and done the story of St. Nicholas and eaten a god-awful amount of pierogies. To my grandma even has a special pierogi like recipe as well.
So in my family, I guess our like tradition is my nana has the best stuffing I've ever had. It's not like a dry, bready, like, you know, when you taste stuffing, sometimes it's just like, it's very apparent that you are just eating bread. With hers, it's like very wet and it's potato-y and there's like bits of the turkey leek in it already, and it's very, very, very good. And something I will regret is I never got her to teach me how to make this. So I have no idea how to make my Nana's stuffing.
That's sad. That's sad that a family recipe gets lost, and that's something I think everyone should do. Folks, if you have a family recipe and you don't know it yet, you should reach out to family, because I got to learn just recently how to make my grandma's pierogies, and I think I could do it, and it's very simple, but it's also like very specific in the techniques that they use. And my cousin actually still opened up a business, Maybellina's Pierogies, and so I get to still do it the easy way, where I go, here's a couple bucks, I want grandma's pierogies, and they're delicious, and they're so thin, and they're really, really cheesy on the inside, and it's beautiful.
Yum. Rob, did you say that there was another one that you had in your family that was a tradition, or is it just the...
I need to interject for a quick thing for the great Ooshki Christmas caper, which we need to add the great into here, because, I mean, if it's going to be a caper, it might as well be a great caper.
Yeah, you don't want a mediocre caper.
Yeah, the climax double cross Rob, though you'll have to come out victorious on the end, is because I have the hookup to a secret pierogi business. The reason I want to steal the Ooshki is to monetize it so we can sell the secret of the Ooshki.
Feel it.
So Rob, now how are you gonna overcome my double cross?
You gotta monetize it first.
See, here's the thing. I can't write in Polish, but I can read in Polish. So the recipe my mom will probably have will be written in Polish.
That's brilliant. So that it'll be like me stealing the Krabby Patty secret formula, where I'm going to steal your mother's recipe. And I was just talking about that. You can't decode Polish. It is a mysterious language that uses Z's as distractions. So it'll be written in Polish, but I will not be able to decode it, because that's impossible. It is impossible to translate Polish. It's just a fact.
It's Andrew, just like, it's written in acrylic, right?
You've seen the thing where it's like, I want to learn Polish. The number 2, 30 different words.
Yes. It'll be like 2 ounces or something, but it won't be in ounces, because it's also an old recipe from old country. So it's going to be like in 2 quarter fistfuls of this, where it's all going to be experiential. So she's like, you take 2 fists of this, put in, and you're going to have to do it yourself and learn how it feels in your hand to learn the magic of the Ooshki. We can have a mystical sort of wax on, wax off sort of scenario where you're learning the secret of the Ooshki.
There is one ingredient I do know. There are mushrooms that grow wild, and they're not easy to find, and if you get the wrong one that looks like it but isn't it,
it'll kill you.
Game over.
That's so much more drama in the secret of the Ooshki. I did not expect that we were going to get this magical pierogi. I mean, that's also how I'm double crossed in the end. That's how you come back, is that I somehow collaborate with a Polish person and trick them into translating the secret of the Ooshki for me, so then I can monetize the Ooshki and make billions. But I'll end up getting the poison mushroom, and then I will die upon my own hubris in the secret of the Ooshki, the great Christmas caper.
The funny thing is, because my family and I have the lifetime of picking these, like, honestly, for me, like, you could stick me in the woods and I could point out all the mushrooms you can eat and which ones you can't. And ooh, Andrew, and
you know what I'm down for? At some point, we should go to the woods and you can put all the mushrooms that I can eat.
But the thing is,
we've
like,
been in the forest and no point has Rob pointed a mushroom and been like, I'm gonna eat that.
Well, yeah, because
it's something that I could see Rob doing.
Most of them don't taste good raw, and you don't just pick them up and eat them. You gotta make sure they're clean. So you cut them open, and you know, if there's bugs, meh, no bugs. Okay, steam them, dry them, boil them. You don't eat them raw.
Mushroom hair.
I do want to go on a magical mushroom journey with you, Rob. I'm just saying. I think that would be a fun time.
I don't know which ones are those kinds.
I would like
There's
to go
no
on a magic-
in my mind.
I'd like to go to a magical mushroom journey with your mom.
I need some etching.
In The Secret of the Ooshki, the Great Christmas Caper.
Here's the thing. Here's how I imagine it going. You would go out. You'd find those kind of mushrooms. My mom would come back and be like, I lost your friend. 3 days later, you show up in the middle of the city. Somehow alive, covered in blood and wearing a lion pelt. No idea where the lion pelt came from. And you're just there. It's like, I think I'm king of Kazakhstan now.
I'm okay with that. That actually sounds like a beautiful mid-story for me. And I also would get to wear a lion, so.
That's not part of the actual movie. That's like...
That's the bonus
special
feature.
That's the next movie that comes out later, like next year.
Ah, yes, that because one. The Secret of the Ooshki, the Great Christmas Caper. is a King wild instant Christmas classic, and you have to try to get it a second time. And that's when we go off the rails, and I become the King
of Kazakhstan.
King of Kazakhstan.
So, is the movie
Lord of Lions
G11?
The first of his name?
Is the movie going to be what, Chris?
Is it going to be called Ushki 11? And I'll just see myself out.
Well, Chris hasn't told us about any of his family food traditions.
Buddy, we get Chinese food and go to church on Christmas Eve.
Oh, let's go.
You don't want to make any cool German dishes?
No, no one wants to do anything on Christmas Eve or day, so we say screw it and we just don't get food.
That's a beautiful Christmas tradition too. It's like, hey, you know what? We get a couple days of rest.
Pretty much.
There's no German food.
Which Chinese food, though? Where do you go? Where's your go-to, or does it change up? Do you have a go-to?
I usually go Walking Bird.
Yes, Walking Bird. What's good?
We
Their
used to do
spring rolls are fantastic.
We used to do Great Wall, but they closed down, so the noodles there were $6, and that was so great.
Is that Walking Bird's the one inside of the old mall, isn't it, Northwood?
The Northwood, yeah. Yep.
Absolutely, that's the one beautiful little secret of Thunder Bay, because it's the Northwood Mall. Are you guys old enough to remember Northwood Mall when it was still an actual mall, when it was Zellers was there and there was something on the other side that I can't remember? I know, Megan, you weren't here yet.
No, my parents never took me there when we visited. We visited often on the weekends and stuff, but we never went places like that.
Northwood used to actually be open, like you would have seen the Arthur Street Mall, where it was a mall. The only remnants of that, because Walking Bird has been in there forever, and they're absolutely my favorite Chinese food place. So that's the other thing, because that's a common tradition as well. There are a lot of people, Chinese food places will be the only place that didn't take Christmas off. So it's like, hey, you know what? Let's get Chinese food for Christmas. I've had a Chinese food Christmas a couple of times. Walking Bird's always been my go-to as well. Their chicken balls are amazing. They're mostly chicken.
They are giant.
Did you know that they sell grilled cheese sandwiches?
Of course they do, Chris. Just for you.
Oh, see, that is a Christmas miracle where you get a Chinese grilled cheese.
I get noodles and grilled cheese sandwiches and I just call it a night.
It's heaven. That sounds like a Chris heaven.
I just discovered them one day by myself. I was walking around the Northwood Mall, oh, I've got some money, so I'm going to go to the Dollarama, and I'm gonna go to get my medication at the Shoppers. And what is this? There was a small little entrance, and it said Walking Bird, and it pointed. And I walk inside, and there's this little Chinese restaurant, and it's all wood paneling. And I'm just what is this? And it was the best thing I've ever seen in my life. It was just so magical. I remember that day, and I just sat down, and I was I needed one of everything, please.
Why are the best places to eat always a hole in the wall? Andrew, remember that?
A hole in the wall.
The Cuban place we went to. That was just off to the side in the middle of nowhere in Toronto.
Yes, where we just found amazing food.
Yeah, we would have missed that place entirely if it wasn't for your friend going, go in there.
Well, I think Walking Bird is, and there's also the aestheticians that have been there forever as well, is a big reason why that part is still open and hasn't been converted into an exterior place like many of the malls have been going to now. I don't know why they're doing that. There's got to be some economic reason for it, but malls aren't malls anymore. They keep opening up. I also remember Northwood Mall used to have this beautiful toy store that was all just wooden toys, and they used to have an epic set of wooden trains, and it was just went around the store.
That sounds magical. I would have loved to see that. Maybe I have been to the Northwood Mall when I was younger, but I'm just not remembering it. I know we went to the Victoriaville quite often.
Victoriaville used to go hard on Christmas.
Oh yeah. I think I'm just merging them both in my memories, maybe.
No, I remember Victoriaville on Christmas, where there were lights everywhere. I think it's partially because the city owned it, so they really used to dress it up. That used to be the mall Santa I'd go to. We wouldn't go to inner city for Christmas. So who was your mall Santa? Which one was your mall Santa? I used to go to Victoriaville for my mall Santa. Because come on.
Knights of Columbus.
Knights of Columbus was your mall Santa. Was it St. Nicholas or was it Santa?
Oh, he was a guy.
he was a guy.
The Knights of Columbus, what they did is for the kids who were under 10, they would have Santa, and he would have 10 bags around him for each age 1 through 10. And, kid comes up, sits on Santa Claus's lap. How old are you? Oh, I'm 3. Here's a 3-year-old gift. Go away.
Oh, I mean, that's sweet. You got it.
That was my Santa as well. He wasn't a Knights of Columbus Santa. He was the Wellwood Family Christmas Party Santa. There was a Wellwood forestry mill back in Long Lac, and since my father worked there, both my brother and me, we got to go to like sit on Santa's lap and stuff, and he would give us a present depending on our age.
I actually, now that I'm thinking back, had quite a few Santas, because I had Victoriaville Mall Santa, and then I also used to have my my Mother's Union's Christmas party, where I think that was the first time I got up on stage, where they used to have just like the Christmas party used to bring in Rodney Brown, one of the famous local musicians, and he would come in and play a lot of Christmas music. But during the night, he would have this bag of instruments that he would give out to all the kids, bringing them up on stage, and then you would just play along. I usually did like Jingle Bells and just playing just a little instrument, so you'd have like a triangle or something else. I'm pretty sure the first time I would have been on a stage would have been when I was 3 or 4, shaking like a tambourine with Rodney Brown, and then I became addicted to it. So I'm like, oh, I get to be up here, let's keep doing this. We need to head to our first break here, folks, but keep that dial locked to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
CILU is supported in part by the students of Lakehead University, our sponsors, and our listeners. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Copperfin Credit Union, Northwestern Ontario's largest locally owned credit union. Experience the convenience of their mobile banking app and online financial solutions anywhere, anytime. Copperfin Credit Union, life forward. Sarah Curtin, your neighborhood realtor. She's on top of what's happening in Thunder Bay's market, and she'll help you buy or sell your home. Call or text her anytime at 323-6635 or find her online at sarahcurtin.com. The Walleye, the definitive source for information on music, food, art, and entertainment in Thunder Bay. This month's issue is on stands for free now. Find it around town or online and interactive at thewalleye.ca.
They're hanging tinsel on Cloud City, trimming trees on Dantooine. The force is strong this season. Let me show you what I mean. Come along, won't you? The cantina's serving eggnog as the band plays festive tunes. They know a certain jolly hut who's visiting them soon. The stockings on the Death Star have been hung with special care. The exhaust port is a secret, but Santa Hut knows it's there. R2 and 3PO are hanging wreaths and candy canes. Princess Leia's decorating mirror tables with snow. And old man Palpatine, he is retelling tales of old as the clone troops gather close around with their shared face all aglow. Papa Vader's carving tauntaun, he's serving breasts and thighs as the clones line up to give his gift 500 identical ties. The Fets are trading presents, they're all guns as you'd assume. Little Bobby Frost the tree in carbonite in their front room. And The sand people are making big sand angels, don't you know? They do the best they can, cause Tatooine don't get much snow. The Jawas carol door to door with Jawa bells a-ringing, but not one oyster farmer has a clue what they are singing. And on the moon of Endor, Ewoks labor making toys and gold lame bikinis for the naughty girls and boys. And on the planet Kashyyyk, life day is in the air, with stilted scenes and porn machines, our party's even there. And a long, long time from now, in a galaxy far, far away, the light from blowed-up Alderaan appeared one fateful day to lead three bewildered Asians to a rather famous shed. But this is sacrilegious, so we'll quit while we're ahead. We hope your holiday is filled with laughter, fun, and joy, and no good-intentioned aunt gets you a stupid Jar Jar toy. We wish galactic peace and all the gladdest tidings, too, as Master Yoda says, a happy Christmas we wish you.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM, CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. That was Nerds with Guitars with A Very Star Wars Christmas.
Like, we did that in school, like in SK. I guess it would have been five.
I guess.
So hard.
I'm curious on that, because I think all of us had to deal with school Christmas plays at some point, and I remember a couple of mine. Megan, what have you done for school Christmas plays?
We didn't really do any Christmas. I don't remember them very, very much. I just remember that we like all would go up there and sing a song and stuff, and then like I don't remember them at all. Like, they weren't very big.
I mean, no, it was always for the school. Like, it wasn't about being big. It just, I remember doing a couple different things. So the first one I remember doing, I don't remember what we did in JK. I assume we had something in JK. But for my school, every year, each of the grades would do something for Christmas. So there would be can drive where everyone's collecting cans, and it would always be the grade 8 class with Mr. Gary that would win, because somehow they became very motivated, and every year they would just blow the rest of the classes away.
Because it's your last year, you have to be the champion before you leave.
So yeah, true. Every year Mr. Gary's grade 8 class won, and I almost got him as a teacher. I had him sort of as a teacher in grade 7 when they decided, like, hey, let's do an experiment where we prepare kids from high school with making them switch classes. But he actually retired when I got to grade 8, so we never got to win the Christmas can drive. But I do remember quite a few of our Christmas plays. The first one I remember was in SK, and for some reason they made me Rudolph. I don't know, but that's also, again, like, I just had a habit of wanting to perform in front of people, I guess.
I don't remember our Christmas plays, and I remember performing in every single grade. Like,
me
it was
too.
Not like a big deal. Like, I was always there, and I was always jazzed for it. But what I remember was my friend Sarah and I, one year, they panicked, and they were like, we don't have hosts. Sarah, Megan, do you guys want to host? And we were just like, yeah, let's do it.
Nice!
So we got to host, like, the Christmas thing in high school. And it was just ad-lib the whole time. Like, we were given, like, what was coming up next and who was performing. Like, that's all they told. And then we had to just ad-lib it the whole time.
And it worked. Did it work? How did it go?
It went over pretty well. Like, we got some laughs. We got some cheers. One of the ones that I remember was there was this really talented young man, and he was playing the Grinch theme song.
I mean,
like, in this, like, nice, like, different kind of melody, like, slowed-down melody kind of thing. Like, very indie style. And, like, right after that, I was like, oh, man. Give it up for Ornatowski. He's killing it. You know, and for those of you who are looking for a date, his number is 854. Just kidding. Because, like, that's our area code, right? And there was some people who were like, no, like, tell us the rest. And it was like, I'm pretty sure I'm not allowed to do that. So You know, maybe just walk up and ask him instead.
You're just a natural when it comes to just hosting, and you've always been awesome for me in the when we've done live shows, because you're so good at interacting with the audience, and you had that ever since you were young in Christmas.
It's a Christmas thing. Definitely spawns from my love of Christmas.
The only other one that I remember is, I think in grade 6, we sang I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. And I think that's still
my mom's Christmas song.
That is my favorite Christmas song as well.
Feliz Navidad is my least favorite Christmas song.
I have
it drives me crazy because really? in grade six, our teacher was obsessed with that song. And they played it constantly. We had to perform that song for like the Christmas, what do they call it? A Christmas pageant?
Yeah, Christmas pageant.
Christmas pageant. We had to perform that thing for the Christmas pageant. And that was like the only year that I was like, please, not me, that.
See,
kill me, please.
You at least did that. Like, when my school had to do Christmas carols in elementary, I just went,
oh, Rob, you faked it? You're a faker?
You're a big fat boy.
I hated Christmas carols all my life.
Oh.
I love Christmas carols. We would all meet up in the gym, and it would just get you out of class, and I would just be sitting there just singing my heart out.
Oh, I know. I loved being at a class. Yes. I'm with Megan here.
This is the thing, though. And this is just me specifically.
Okay.
We didn't have seats. We had to sit on the floor, and I cannot sit crisscross applesauce. I had to sit with my feet out. But they wouldn't let us, and that's super uncomfortable for me.
That's fair.
We had to sit on the floor crisscross applesauce.
Same.
We had a few students who had the same problem, and for those students, they actually were allowed to sit up against the walls.
No, they told me to suck it up.
Feet out.
Oh,
my goodness.
That's terrible.
See, if I was a teacher, I would have made a special exception for you. I understand. Not everyone can sit crisscross applesauce. Some kids have bad blood flow.
I'd never thought about it, but thinking back, I remember a couple kids sitting on the benches and stuff, but they were singing as well. Like, the reason you wouldn't want to sit by a teacher on the bench is that they would know if you weren't singing. But I enjoyed singing, especially in a group, because you can sing badly and it doesn't matter because you're all singing together. So, and most of you, and like Megan, I'm like, okay, let's get out of class for Christmas for a little bit. Chris, do you have any Christmas pageant memories?
Bro, I'm going to be 100% real with you. The only thing I remember from elementary school is the giant bear coming to my classroom singing the Hokey Pokey. That was
terrifying. Like a traumatic memory?
Go on.
Like a traumatic memory.
Chris just is going to have it as like slow-mo flashbacks.
Hold on, wait a minute.
You're right.
Chris's fear is mascots, isn't it? Chris's fear is like the mascots? Is this the deep-seated terror? Is that the only thing you remember from elementary? You're like, the bear, the hokey pokey. No, no, don't put your foot in.
Chris, is your biggest nightmare a furry convention now? We're like, no, too many mascots, too many bears, the bears.
I got over it, but that was still super traumatic.
So I'm not gonna lie.
Like, was one of his eyes popping out or something? Like,
no, this is just like one of those helium highs ones that just come to your school and just sing happy birthday in the Hokey Pokey, apparently. My mom thought it'd be so funny to do this.
She's right.
I'm with mom.
Got the gorilla.
When we get back to Icon, I am gonna straight up just go up to all the furries and be like, see this guy? Surround him and do the hokey pokey.
Yes, but do it.
I'm gonna make sure you don't get bubble teas if you do that.
But have them do it slow and in like their best demonic voice, so it's even creepier.
I will willingly get kicked out of this convention if I have to.
You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what.
That's what it's all about.
What a big news is going to be like. 37 people dead at this anime convention. Apparently the hokey pokey started and then a bunch of people just kind of died.
He put his right knife in, he took his right knife out, he put his right knife in, and he shook it all about.
I did the stabby stabby, now all the lights have gone out, and that's what it's all about.
Boom, boom.
I don't condone murder.
I have one other Christmas pageant memory. I think I was a reindeer in this, and I don't want to examine why I wanted to be a reindeer, but it was weird. So they wanted to do the Grinch Stole Christmas, but you have like, you know, 20 kids in a class and there are more than, well, there's less than 20 roles in the Grinch Stole Christmas. So instead of having one dog, I think we had 8 dogs dressed as reindeer. And
oh my gosh,
it was the Grinches that stole Christmas. So I think there was 8 different Grinches.
The Grinch Eye? Is it the flock of Grinch called, are they just called Grinch or are they called Grinch Grinches? Eye?
What?
Or
Grinches? No, the Grunches. They're Grunches.
A Grunch of Grinches.
See, I
the Grunch is my How the Grinch Stole Christmas OC. He's like the Grunch. He's like the Grinch, but he's got a gun. He's the Grunch.
Megan the Grunch looked down that day. All of them whom villains are gonna pay. I mean, and I scowl and I point where I shoot. Now shut the hell up or you're getting the boot.
Okay, so here's some fun trivia for you that I learned recently about the Grinch. So the song You're a Mean One is actually sang by the same person at that time that was the mascot voice for Tony the Tiger. Okay. And I think that they were originally also supposed to be, like the voice of the Grinch. I don't remember exactly. But honestly, now that you listen to the lyrics of like, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, it sounds like Tony the Tiger's like breakup song with him.
Oh.
And then the Grinch is just like opening up his like locker and it's like a tore picture in half of him and Tony. And he's just like, you're great.
I need the 80s ballad, Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
It's the breakup song between Tony the Tiger and the Grinch. Definitely. 100%. I love that movie. And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is also my one of my favorites. Like, just those two. If I don't get to watch those two films around Christmas time, I will lose my marbles.
You have marbles?
I do. Not very many, but they're there.
You never offered to play? Megan just hoards them for herself.
Yeah, we did an Arctic marble extravaganza.
With all those,
I don't have any other memories. I don't have any more memories to add for the pageants.
For our Christmas specials.
I think it's
interesting, though, like, considering, like, I think we all had to do them every year. I'm fairly sure I did one every year, but I have 3 out of 10 that I actually remember.
There was one that I remember, but it was not something that I did. It was something that the older kids in high school did. They did the 12 Days of Christmas, like, as a video.
Oh.
But it was, like, school-related, and one of them was, like, the art teacher. So we had this art teacher and his name was Mr. Arts.
He was destined for that.
He was, and he is a very, very good artist. Like, he does really good landscaping and like this monochrome color scheme. He's very, very good.
Was he hot?
No. Oh. No, he is old and tall and lanky and with like a really long beard, like gray beard, and he'll like loom over you with his little like round spectacles, and then he talks like Kermit the Frog.
At first, okay. I was like, you know, that some people might be into that, and then you threw Kermit in there. I'm like, oh, never mind, Mr. Arts,
so
the art teacher.
The best part about the 12 Days of Christmas was when they got to Mr. Arts, and it was like on the fourth day, or no, on like the sixth day of Christmas, Mr. Arts gave to me, you're not getting anything. And that was like the best part of the whole thing. It was just him saying, you're not getting anything. And it was just like, that resonated with me for so, so long.
I didn't do Christmas plays in high schools for 2 reasons. One, I would just say it's against my religion, and they wouldn't argue with me and let me go.
Oh, yeah. Once we got to high school, I just skipped. But I couldn't do that yet in elementary school. And so getting out of class for half of the day to go sing, I'm like, oh, okay, sure. Well, I'll just sit. And I feel bad for you, Rob, that you never get to experience the joy of Christmas magic. And because I was comfortable sitting like cross-legged on the floor forever. I still incessantly sit on the floor instead, but Christmas is a special time.
Don't get me wrong, I love Christmas, but I hate being told what to do.
Oh, so you just don't have the Christmas cheer.
Oh, actually, speaking of Christmas cheer specifically, no, when I was in cadets, we had to do the Christmas cheer charity event.
Oh,
I loved doing that for 2 reasons.
What was
one,
that?
It's at the, what's that building called at the where the theater is? It's one of those buildings.
Oh, it's like on the CLE grounds.
Yeah. we would go there and pretty much like distribute all the food that's been donated throughout the month for different people to, you know, have food. And each cadet would be like given a different station, and the station every cadet fights for, and I always got, was crushing cardboard. Because behind the place, they had this giant bin. And what you do is you specifically try and put all the cardboard on one side of the bin. Just keep pushing it on one side of the bin, because then eventually you get a slope. Now, I don't know if you've ever taken cardboard against cardboard, but it slides.
Oh.
And if it's snowing just a little bit outside,
you just started sliding down Cardboard Mountain.
Yes.
That is
also such a Rob thing to hear as well. One of my favorite Christmas memories is sliding down Cardboard Mountain as I crushed it.
In full cadet uniforms, too.
I was really ridiculously good at making those paper snowflakes. So when it came time for us to make these paper snowflakes, and for some reason they were like part of our credit, a lot of the times, like as like an art thing, you know? So yeah. A lot of students would ask me like, hey, Megan, could you like make me a snowflake? And I would be like, hell yeah, I'll make you a snowflake. And then the teachers started like kind of being like, seems like all these snowflakes are like, you know, kind of like the same vibe, you know, like they're like, they all seem really, really good, even for like the kid that's not good at arts and crafts.
Yeah, that
so
actually,
I
you know,
for
Megan,
doing everybody else's project.
But thing is, I feel you, because that was one of the things I didn't like in school was the Christmas art projects, because I was not an artsy person. Rob is quite good in arts and crafts, and I've seen you've been very
now.
Okay. Now. Ooh. Like Megan, the one arts and crafts thing I could do was at Christmas is when you made snowflakes. It's like, okay, fold this a bunch and then just chop into it a little bit and it'll come out looking cool. And then there were people that would do these super elaborate ones, but at least you'd come out and go, yeah, you know what? That looks kind of like a snowflake. I did an arts. But Rob, you're saying you struggled with arts and crafts. What was your...
Oh,
was
yeah. I sucked at crafts and art and all that stuff in elementary and high school. I didn't even do art in high school.
How did your crafting grow? Because when we made wands before, yours was quite, you know, nice.
I'm convinced that this is the reason. I grew up with, like, all my friends being Megan-level artistic.
Yes.
So I just didn't want to, because no matter what I make, it's not going to be that good. Why bother? So most of the times I just did the bare minimum. It's like, okay, I cut here, I cut there. There, give me a D plus and we're good.
But your 2020 quarantine, like, you have improved as an artist now, and I've been quite proud of your growth. Yes, I've been begging for it because I adore
he's
them.
He's so roly-poly.
Rob has returned, and if you want to check his art out, you can do so at Rob Quarantine Paint.
Yep.
And Rob has returned to the Fat series, which I've been imploring, where he just draws fat versions of Pokemon. So he started with Pokemon number one, and I've seen you've made a magnificent cannonball to throw at people. You've made a fat Bulbasaur, or a Bulbasaur.
The reason I stopped is a surreal thing, because people commissioned me to make Christmas presents.
That was awesome, though.
Horrible.
It is, but it's like, Megan, do you remember the first time someone offered you money for something you made?
Oh, man. I actually don't.
Oh, well, because to
I
me, it was...
I don't remember the first time someone actually paid me money. I think it was already like on an art site, and I was like just doing stuff and coloring, and I don't know. It was just like someone tried to offer me money for something, but they were a friend, and I was like, "Don't worry about it. Like, I want you to have this, but it's on paper, and since you live in the United States, like, I won't be able to get it to you anytime soon." So,
and to me, it was just like, I don't know. I don't think of what I do as good. I don't think of it as like bad on the other end of the spectrum, but like, I don't know, it's just something I do.
What you do is fun, and people like your stuff because it is fun. And when they commission you, it's because they want something fun for themselves or for a friend or family member. And that's why I think you're being commissioned now.
And was it one of your resolutions to improve upon art, Rob?
No, it was one of my resolutions to improve video editing.
How did your resolutions go? This year, I've achieved nothing. Oh, 2020 happened. I guess it has been both the longest and fastest year.
Yes. Yeah, so I had four resolutions and I only did two. Let's see if I could find a list here. So I know I actually did save the list for reasons to actually, because this happens every year where we're like,
what did we promise to do?
Yeah. Every year, that's what happens is We said we're going to do things. What things did we say?
Okay, so actually, I found yours, Rob. 2020 okay. goals. So you wanted to get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Nope.
Film Thunder Geeks play D&D.
Yeah, that obviously
didn't happen. You know,
happen.
Yeah, you know it turns out that, hey, you know, it's really hard getting together. Improve,
especially now.
Improve editing skills.
Going back to the D&D one, I had us a DM who was writing us a script. Thunder Games was cool to let us film there and everything, and then COVID hit.
So it's a to be continued.
Yes.
And also, I think we talked about this as well, where I think you've improved editing skills. Like, you can compare yourself up to, like, the highest peak of it. But do you think more than a year ago you're better at what you're doing now?
I've learned how to do better layering, green screening, like...
Yeah.
Not much things, but, like if you watch or listen to our earlier things, it's just a still image and, like, some wavy backgrounds. But, like, since we've started doing this kind of filming, because, you know, we're here...
You've gone and
experimented. Cut out bits and, like, do the layers and make Megan an anteater.
The last one you have 100% followed through on, and it's also been the one that I found the most interesting, because it gives you a unique skill, and that was learning more sign language, and that's something that you've even, you know, communicated to me, like, you've learned new little things along the way. Tell us about some of the sign language you've learned, just your journey through ASL.
I just started because I think sign language looks cool, but as I've been going through this year, I am 99% convinced that sign language is almost international. Like, there's, like, different things that change here and there, but, like, the thing that sparked me is I watched an anime called A Silent Voice, where it's the main lead is deaf and she speaks in sign language, and I could understand her, and I'm like, but I don't speak Japanese, so how am I understanding her signs? And then my sister sent me a thing where it's, like, basic ASL in Spanish. It's the exact same as the English. Like, there's no difference.
Wow.
And my mom, she has a friend who lives in Poland, and when she's going to visit here when she can, is going to buy a Polish AL book, because I am fairly convinced that it's the same thing.
And that's actually a really interesting take, that, in fact, it makes you sort of a multilingual communicator. You've always been a multilingual communicator, but being able to, you know, speak ASL, that'd be a cool thing for, like, a post-apocalyptic thing, that the only people that can still communicate are the people that can speak, like, some form of sign language, even if they can't speak the same language.
I can say, does your penguin want cocaine?
Yo, that might not come up often, Rob, but that is definitely an important sentence.
No, there's a joke I've always wanted to do, that if I ever meet someone who's speaks sign language and is deaf, and, you know, doesn't need help for anything, you know, just chatting, I want to do those things where you always see it in movies where someone speaks such bad different language that the subtitles just make no sense. So I think if I walked up to someone and, like, they start saying, I'm like, oh, does your penguin want cocaine? They would look at me and be like, you want to try that again, buddy?
I'm enamored that a lot of your motivation to learn sign is to also make a singular sight gag, but that only two people will understand. But it is a beautiful joke. Was it just that you thought sign language looked kind of cool, or what did inspire you to learn sign language?
When I was younger, I was one of those kids who always found ways to not break the rules, but break the rules.
Of course. Yes, and we know who you are, Rob. We've had a long-standing friendship. We know that when we have rules, Rob's first go-to is, what's the technicality so I can bend the rules to my favor?
So I had a friend in elementary school, and our school library had a sign language dictionary. So we learned some signs between us so we could talk in class without talking in class. And the teacher would, like, turn and be like, I'm talking in class. And we're like, I didn't say a word, did you? No, I didn't say anything. And she would, like, get mad at us, but we're like, show us the rule that says you can't sign in class. We weren't passing notes. We weren't disrupting. We were just sign language. Yeah. Show us the rule.
I'm with you, Rob. Technically, there is no rules about sign language in class, just like there is no rules that giraffes can't play football.
So I just one day started remembering, it's like, yeah, that was fun. And, you know, YouTube's now a thing, so it makes it a lot easier, because one thing I'm not a big fan of is sign language through, like, pictures, because you don't get the fluid motion. So it might look like one thing, but you're not sure. So when you have like a video of a person signing something, it'll show them it's like, and then you'll see from a different angle, and it's like, this is what this word means. And you're like, oh, okay, so that's how I move my hands in this motion, instead of like, you see a picture and some arrows pointing in directions, and you're like,
yeah, it's much harder to learn from a book than it would be from something that's actually moving, because sign language inherently is a language that involves, you know, movement and visually communicating.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually interesting that it also makes language and communication more accessible in ways that I didn't even really think about before.
Yeah. And honestly, if I'm right about the whole sign language is virtually international, we should start teaching that as a second language to everyone.
Yeah, that would be very helpful if we could just communicate basic things to each other through signing. I wonder if we can get around like a different country. So they say we go to Japan, Rob, see if we can get around. We'll have you sign with a deaf person so they can communicate for us.
And like, that's one of the other things is verbally saying different words can be hard. Like, I admit for me, Polish is easier because I grew up with it. But like, you throw Japanese, Chinese or Korean at me and my tongue doesn't want to do that.
You've seen my struggle with language throughout the show here, especially with how huge of weebs we are. The fact I can't pronounce pretty much any Japanese words is a great shame.
Yeah, my biggest struggle with trying to learn Spanish and even like Polish is I have a very, very difficult time rolling my R's. So if I try saying something in like a different language, it usually just ends up me sounding like I'm drunk.
Yeah, but when you're using your hands, you don't have that problem.
Yeah.
Like, because I have yet to see a sign where it's like, oh, my hands don't want to do this. Everything's been pretty self-explanatory. It's like, yeah, like,
there's no blood gang signs where you're like curling up two of your fingers into two O's and a D's.
Yeah. I think the hardest thing is counting. And it's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Do you have any other goals with sign language?
I want to learn Eat Local's menu.
You don't know the
that's
menu?
Smart.
Oh, in sign language. In sign, yes. That's very smart.
You don't know the menu?
Like, Rob, you've worked there for like a decade. You don't know the menu yet? Oh, yeah, we're talking about sign language. Just that sentence out of context is hilarious.
So yeah, I would love to learn the full menu in sign, so if any hard hearing customers ever come in,
you can sign,
they don't just
have
to point and write. I could be like, hey, do you want me to help you? And then they'd be like, yeah, I want a pizza extra large. That's, see, I know, so like some pizza signs, but like
pizza signs,
like, pizza is like you're holding and you're taking a bite of a slice.
Oh, pizza.
Extra large is just like two of those, but you make it big.
Extra large pizza.
Medium is like you cut in the middle, and small is just like some signs are extremely obvious, like marijuana is.
I know our visual signing is the best thing for a radio show, but
yeah.
It's still something that I both admire and I am impressed about your progress with sign language, and like I encourage like it for the new year.
I've been having a lot of luck because one of my coworkers last year had a child, and they one of the things they're doing is teaching a baby sign because toddlers can communicate non-verbally before they can verbally.
Dang, I did not know that.
Yeah, yep. So you teach them baby sign, which is like less complex, but like a lot of signs are still very similar. So he'll come to me and be like, "Hey, Rob, I learned want or ouch," and then I'll be like, "Okay, cool. Today I learned box, pizza," and then we'll just exchange. It's like, this is what I learned today. Cool, this is what I learned.
That's so cute and cool, and I didn't actually know that there was such a thing. I guess that makes sense, but I had no idea there was even a toddler sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Oh, no, we're going to turn those into super babies. Yeah. I'm afraid of those children.
A lot of parents, get worried because, like, for example, I have a friend right now who had a child, and they're, like, not talking yet, right? The kid isn't speaking. And they were saying, like, oh, the doctor is, like, worried that they're not speaking. And it's like, yeah, I mean, if they start developing a speech impediment or, like, without speech at all whatsoever, like, then yeah, maybe it's like a reason to, for like an alarm, but it's not. Like, you could teach this kid sign language and he knows his 1-2-3s and his ABCs. Like, he's smart, he's a smart kid, like, he knows what he's doing, but he's just not talking verbally, but he is understanding and like absorbing all their information, and you can see it, and he tells them what he wants and what he needs and stuff, but just not verbally yet.
Yeah,
so Albert for him to learn baby sign
until he was 4.
Yeah. So, like, for this kid to, like, learn the ability to do, like, the baby sign, he would probably be so good at it. Like, it would be, like, ridiculous.
And, yeah, like, there's a really cool thing that I think that people should know is, like, I can't remember all of them, but, like, my sister sent me emergency, like, 911 signs, like, help, call, yeah. Ambulance. I'm trying to remember what it was. No, ambulance is, hospital is a cross.
Okay.
So it's, like, do you need a hospital?
And that's a very useful one to know as well. Do you have any other resolutions that you're thinking about? Because you're the only one who has passed, I think, New Year's resolutions this year. Megan, have you forgotten all yours as well?
I forget all of them because they're like super vague. And then I just never follow through with them anyways. Like, I really didn't do much this year. Like, honestly, and I know that everyone says like 2020 is a write-off.
Yes, 2020 is a mulligan. It doesn't count.
Wow. I mean, I got a little stronger in the summertime. Like, that was about it. Like, I got to go out into the forest and, like, lift stuff and use an axe and all this other junk.
We got a lumberjack, Megan. Cool.
Like, I would love to do more of that. Like, that's what I would like to do more of this summer. But if I can't do it, that's okay. I'll just be sad about it.
Did you tear off the sleeves of your flannel? So you just had a vest with ripped off sleeves and just rippling muscle, Megan. Just
You don't even know. Okay, so for the Ellie closet cosplay that I had to do when The Last of Us 2 released, I had a shirt in my closet that I had to rip the sleeves off of. And guess what I wore the entire time I was out in the forest?
Oh,
the sleeves. Shirt. The shirt with the ripped sleeves off. Oh, my God.
No, not even the shirt, just the sleeves.
Rob, do you have any other resolutions that you want to accomplish this year?
So not this year, but for next year, I found a way to have resolutions. Make them simple. I make them manageable.
That's what I mean. 2021 resolutions.
I've been in chapters looking for gifts for everyone, you know, myself too, because I like going there. And I found the perfect Rob 2021 kind of resolution. It's a 100 movies you have to see before you die poster, but every movie is a scratch away. So when you see it, you scratch away that you've seen it. I'm going to go through those 100 movies.
Nice. Was there any standouts that you do you not know what's on there at all yet?
I haven't opened the box for reasons, so I'm not saying anything up right now. Can keep it in the box. And when 2021 happens, I'm going to roll it out and just go through it in order. I think I can do 100 movies in a year is nothing.
That's manageable.
A movie every couple of days. That's not so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know for one big goal that I'm going to have for 2021 is when Back for Blood comes out, I'm going to keep trying to upgrade my computer until I can play Back for Blood. The not technically Left 4 Dead 3 is something that I'm looking forward to, and it's been a while since I've like was really hyped about a video game. One of the friends of the show, Arc Drifter, asked me, he's like, what was your favorite video game of 2020? I'm like, oh, did video games come out in 2020? I think Among Us, I guess.
That was the answer I had for him. He's like, no, that's 2018. I'm like, wow.
Really then?
Okay. 2020.
Yeah, it came out on phones first in 2020.
Okay, fair. But
2018.
Phone doesn't count. But yeah, no, that was one thing that I'm really excited for. So that's one thing I'm going to work on is upgrading my computer and so I can play Back for Blood. And I think I'm going to try to go practice with Left 4 Dead as well and try going through that again. So I think that's going to be my 2021 resolution so far. We need to head to our last break here, folks, but stay tuned to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM CILQ, or around the world at luradio.ca.
CILU is sponsored in part by the Students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Foundry at 242 Red River Road, open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday to Saturday, featuring folk in Mondays, karaoke Tuesdays, trivia Wednesdays, open stage Thursdays, and live music weekends. Find out more at thefoundrypub.com. The the Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. Log on to tbso.ca or call 626-TBSO for details on the 2019-2020 season and how to get tickets. The Lakehead University Student Union, promoting action, advocacy, and service by bringing you student centers. Learn more by visiting their office in the tunnels of the student center or by logging on to lusu.ca.
And we're back. You're listening to Thunder Geeks, brought to you by 102.7 FM, CILU, or around the world at luradio.ca. That was Weird Al Yankovic with The Night Santa Went Crazy.
We still gotta get a game of all of us playing Among Us.
Absolutely. I'm still down for that. And that's something that we can accomplish pretty easily, I think, one day.
One day.
I will murder all of you when you're not looking.
I absolutely believe you. So I'm going to blame Rob every single time.
Yeah, that's the plan.
As of right now.
Hey, you know what? Emergency meeting. How about just as a good start, let's eject Rob just right off the bat. Let's just
the just
first,
to be safe.
First round of every game. No, we're just going to eject Rob.
And then we'll eject Andrew. And then we'll eject Kyle, because those are the three people that are always the ones that are at the highest risk.
And that's why me and Kyle and Rob are going to all gang up and eject Megan, but then we're going to eject Rob.
Megan, trust me on this. Kyle is never the killer. He hates it.
He is. I've seen it.
It's what, 1 in 30?
He had one night.
Yeah, that's why Kyle will always get away with it, and he'll actively pretend to be the killer when he's not. So Megan's right in the order, and that's why Kyle dies after me, because if I'm the killer and you don't kill me, I'm probably going to win. As I showed you in my first couple games, Rob, I had quite an aptitude for murdering people, apparently. Yeah, absolutely. Kyle would be the next sneakiest, because he would never be the killer, but the one time he is when he would get away with it.
I remember that I was playing with Project Supervillain and a bunch of other people because I was invited. Guess who killed everyone? And these are people who gave
Did you use the poop strategy? You told me about your poop strategy.
The poop strategy is the best strategy in the game, but I don't think they fall for it with me because they know me.
Okay, so you didn't use the poop strategy.
For Megan, who don't know about my poop strategy, I put the toilet paper on my head. Anytime there's a meeting and we have to talk, all I do is say, I'm poop. I am poop.
You would get voted off so fast.
But that's the thing. It's like they think, oh, this idiot's not the killer. And then they just carry on voting other people. And like, I'm poop. It worked.
My strategy so far is to try to be quiet. Like, once I murder someone, I get out of there and I just get as far away as I can. But if I let other people make the accusation against someone else first, and then I skeptically back them up. Go like, why do you think it's him? Oh, that sounds reasonable. I think you're right. So I marinate and gaslight them into voting off other people.
Apparently, I'm really convincing.
Absolutely. So you'd be the dark horse.
I don't have to do anything. I think it was like the first or second time we played in our like little streaming group. The game glitched out. Kyle jumped into a vent, and I was the killer. I was like, well, that's weird. So I went, yeah, Kyle jumped into a vent. And like, you can see in the VOD that it showed him doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, okay, whatever, I guess, free kill. He got voted off, and I'm just like, I don't know what happened. I can't explain that.
Because you're not wrong.
Not wrong. We've had the full games, too, where I've just been like, probably Tane. Jamie died first.
But that'll be a good...
He always died first.
That'll be a good 2021 resolution for us as well, is to play Among Us together. Because if any one of us can just mess with the other one, it's definitely... We've seen that with One Night at Werewolf, and Megan's going to absolutely hate me, and I'm sorry, Megan. I love you to death, but when you're the killer, I'm probably going to figure it out, and when you're not, I'm going to accuse you anyways.
Yo.
Megan, I will vote Andrew with you if he does that. I don't care if you're the killer.
Just make save sure me for last. The anonymous voting.
Oh, obviously.
Yes.
That is my favorite new feature.
Yeah,
I can't wait to play Among Us.
Oh, woo.
Maybe by the time proc cat will be active. Who knows?
Megan, I believe you do have a 2021 resolution.
Wevolution?
You have a Wevolution with your solution.
I've been thinking about this business endeavor for quite some time now.
You're trying so hard.
You have a business solution?
I'm trying so hard. Business endeavor.
Can you tell me about this whoa opportunity?
For so long, I've been wanting to bring to Thunder Bay to for Wonder Bay.
Let it flow. Whoa, whoa.
Oh, whoa, whoa. A pasta dish that for everyone to enjoy. I want to make Wavi a Wowi.
Whoa, Wavi Wowi? What's a Wavi Wowi Wowi?
Wavi a Wowi.
Probably should have wrote that in the other direction.
Wavi a Wowi is a pasta.
Wait,
is it
reversed on your
is screen? A, is a, yeah. Is a meat stuffed pasta dish typically served with tomato sauce.
Okay.
Don't worry, there will be vegan options for everyone as
can
well.
Can we stop this bit?
Yeah, I'm going to stop.
No.
Can we please stop this bit?
Honestly, though, I would love to try and make ravioli, like, from scratch. There's been some things that I've been wanting to make from scratch for, like, a couple years now that I have actually never tried still. So I wanted to attempt to make my own rice balls. I know that they're stupid easy, but I just never gotten to, like, be, like, do it.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to make, like, homemade wontons, which is, again, stupid easy, but every time I go to the grocery store, there's no wonton wrappers, and it's really frustrating. And then what else was there? I've been wanting to just make stew. Like, I've never actually made a stew, so I want to make one. Well, no, I did make a stew. I made, like, a beef merlot, but it didn't turn out exactly how I wanted it to, because I was trying to mimic the ones that you get from, like, the freezer aisle. And the solution to that is lots of salt, apparently. Just tons and tons and shit tons of salt. I mean, tons and tons and tons of salt.
I also need to learn the secret of Leisha's buttered chicken.
Mm.
I know it's first, she's like, it was a recipe from the internet. I'm like, yes, but which recipe from the internet? Because yours is delicious and exactly what I want to taste, except I want to use all of the dark meat.
All of the dark meats. Yeah, I've always wanted to actually try and make homemade ravioli with, like, the sauce and everything, but I've never gotten around to do so. And yeah, I don't know why I came up with the idea of Wavi a Wowi.
It was a beautiful picture, and anytime that spark hits you, yeah, letting it out was a magnificent thing.
I can't read that. It's too small.
The time is come for my minions. Come forth and get Andrew. And you see, Rob, keep holding it up. I just want to point this out here. Now, let's talk about Rob's D in me. You see what I mean about his D? It's a very stylized
D.
It's got a little space, but it looks nice. It's one of those things that if Rob, in fact, was the Unabomber, that's how we would identify him.
That,
finding,
you know,
the
what?
Little space
the,
in his
the
D.
The D in Andrew does look like a silhouette of a shaft and some.
It looks quite phallic.
Look how nice that Kilmy looks.
Very, very nice.
But
very well
I'm going to double down. Rob, you have actually quite nice writing and printing.
I do for a sentence.
Fair, fair. I mean, none of us stack up to Leisha. She prints like it's art, but...
Oh my gosh, yes. If I'm at work, my handwriting is just like... Blah, 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 blah. But it's still a lot more legible than the rest of the worker, like the rest of my coworkers. They're always like, oh, Megan, your handwriting's so nice. And I'm like, that? You think that's nice?
I'm always going to...
But then if I...
You think about Leisha?
and then I think about Alicia and I'm like, oh my goodness. Or like I think about like how my writing is when I actually take the time to write a nice sentence or a letter and I'm just like, oh boy, you think that's nice? Oh my goodness.
I will forever print like a toddler holding the pencil with their fist. Just now, Rob, to finish it off here, you subjected me to another horror compilation called Deathcember, and I gave a good run at it. There was some interesting things, but tell us a little about it.
If you were saying Rob tells us about it, I literally to do my little hat dance, I had to take off my headphones. So I didn't hear a word.
Think of the first thing that comes to mind, and then tell us about it.
What's first thing?
Now, okay, so that's what you have to run with. What's the first thing that's come to your mind, Rob?
Tell us about it.
First thing that's coming to mind is giant mutant penguins that shoot lava out of their little, like, flippers, and they go...
That sounds like an awesome Sentai monster.
Lava penguins. Japan, use it.
What I was saying, Rob, is you subjected me to another horror compilation, and Deathcember. Tell me a little about what Deathcember was, because for me, there's only one thing that stood out. I know we'll get to that.
Yeah, this to me, based on the description, sounded like ABCs of Death, but all the letters are Christmas. So
yeah, it was like an advent calendar. So they were counting up like the 25 days of Christmas.
He roboted,
and. Yeah, so it was counting up the 25 days of Christmas, so each, like short, and they were only, like, a couple minutes long each, you would have the door of Christmas open, and then you would get a little short from it. Now, they did one for each day, but some of them they went by, and I'm like, that was Christmas? I think December 2nd was the random one in space.
They still get Christmas in space, Andrew.
I guess, but I didn't understand what was going on. Pretty
was
much
that the Christmas proper ones?
No, it was the one where it was like a post-apocalyptic, and there was just one person in kind of like the cable towers connected. Was yours subtitled? Because mine was not subtitled.
Mine was not.
Okay, so that was part of what was losing me with a lot of the international directors, because they were very dialogue heavy. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. And so much of this feels like it's peaked on the dialogue, and it looks like they're having an intense conversation. No idea what's going on. I'm just actually catching the word Christmas.
Yeah, okay. But there was one Latin American one that I loved that you didn't need the subtitles for. It was the family around the dying family member, and he
flies.
But then they start singing Christmas carols, and keeps going, and through everything, they just keep singing Christmas carols. The carols are growing up, growing old, and there's just one feeble old Christmas caroler left, and he wakes up and just runs away.
There were a couple that I made notes about. That was one of them, the Christmas coma, where it didn't. I have no idea what was going on, but essentially, like Rob said, the setup is there's someone, he's in a coma, and when they stop singing Christmas carols, he dies. And when they start singing, so you just watch them start cutting to them getting older and older and older, and then the sky outside is red, and then you could tell there's fires and they're in the apocalypse, and he keeps growing up to be an old man when he finally wakes up when the last person in a gas mask is like singing, and then he gets up and just stabs her so he can die.
What?
Yeah. It was Christmas. Technically.
Christmas.
There was one of the early ones I did really like, and that was the shopping experience, where it was just Karen wanting to return something on Christmas because it's not what her son wanted, but she didn't have a receipt, but it's Christmas. I am a customer's here. The customer is always right. And she got so angry when she left because he wouldn't take it back without a receipt that she took the Christmas charity bell, came back, and just slashed him across the forehead. So the clerk and Karen go and have this all-out brawl, stabbing each other with things and trying to murder each other until they're both on the ground in pools of blood, and then her purse, the receipt, falls out, and she goes, "Oh, I found it. Can you return it now?" He's like, "Yeah, I'll see what I can do." And then they both die.
My favorite one had, I don't know if it was supposed to be serious or not, and I kind of think that's what made it funnier for me. It's the two women are out on the skating rink, and you know, they start getting hot and heavy, and then they keep slipping and falling, cutting each other with their skates. And the way they're slipping, falling, cutting each other, I just thought was the funniest thing.
Yeah, that was like Nancy Kerrigan.
Like, this can't be meant to be a serious one. No, this is goofy.
Some of them were definitely really goofy. There was one that seemed kind of like a cool setup at first, and then at the end, I don't understand what happens. It's five Santas that they're going to rob this store on Christmas. So they're going to rob D'Souza's jewelry store.